As was announced, scripture reading is coming from Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Again, that's Romans 12, 19. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord.
Good to be with everyone tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. A couple of times here recently, I've taught a little bit on vengeance and retaliation. And once we dealt with it in our study of Samson, he sort of had a spirit of retaliation. Even more so, we dealt with it in our Thursday morning class in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's been suggested that I maybe ought to preach a short sermon on it because there's not too many. We have good turnout on Thursday morning, but comparatively speaking, there's not that many there. And so I thought I would look at retaliation a little bit tonight. And as we think about this idea of retaliation, there's a lot of places we can go in the Bible because both in the Old and the New Testament, the spirit of retaliation, the action of retaliation is condemned. But I thought that we would look at what Paul said, as you can tell by the scripture reading, in Romans, the 12th chapter. So you might want to turn your Bibles over there. And let's just remind ourselves where we are in the book of Romans by the time we get to Romans 12. Paul, as most of you know, in the book of Romans, he's dealing with the great subject of justification by faith. And he deals with that thoroughly in the first 11 chapters, emphasizing that we're saved by faith, we're justified by faith, as opposed to works of the law. But then when he gets to chapter 12, he begins to look at the practical life of a Christian. Basically saying, now that you are a Christian, now that you have indeed been justified by faith, you've been acquitted in heaven's court, how should you live your life from day to day? And so he deals with that beginning in Romans 12 and in chapter 13 and 14 in the first part of 15. He begins to look at many of the various areas of life where we should make application of all of that. He talks about the saint in the body of Christ. He talks about the saint in the civil government. He talks about the saint and the weak brother. He talks about the saint in love. He talks about all these different areas where we should behave as individuals who have been justified. And one of the areas that he deals with is how we ought to respond as Christians to the world around us, how we should behave in society, and particularly when society is not too kind to us. Even when people in the world persecute us, what should our attitude be? But I want you to notice just quickly as he begins in Romans chapter 12, he says, of course, in verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. And then at verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world. And when it comes down to the idea of vengeance and retaliation, certainly we don't want to be like the world. The world at large is very, very vengeful. People have that spirit of retaliation. It is almost a natural way to respond for most people. But Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. And in fact, he goes on and says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that word transformed, it's the Greek word metamorpho, and you could probably tell by that we get the English word metamorphosis from that word. And whenever you think about a metamorphosis, one of the things that come to your mind is the change from the caterpillar to the butterfly. And I've often pointed out with regard to this passage and that concept from that Greek word that when it comes down to that butterfly, you see that butterfly floating majestically through the sky. That butterfly is not a caterpillar in disguise. It's a new creature. And that's the very point that Paul is making to us in Christ. Now, having been justified by faith, we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. And now he says you need to act like that. You don't need to be that caterpillar that's crawling around the ground. You need to be the majestic butterfly that's floating through the air. Do we live our lives with regard to society as the butterfly? The only way we will do what God wants us to do and avoid having a vengeful spirit of retaliation is if we don't conform to the world, but we are transformed. We are transformed from the inside out, Paul says. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we think differently from the world. And we see that when it comes down to this important subject of vengeance and retaliation. So look then with that in mind down to verse 14 in Romans chapter 12. And again, he begins to teach us how we should act in the world. Verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Now that's where, as we sometimes say, the rubber hits the road when it comes down to Christianity. Like, that is not an easy thing to do. That is not the natural thing to do. When someone persecutes you, to bless that person. Eulogeo is the word for bless. And again, we're kind of familiar with that because we get the English word eulogy from that word. It simply means to speak well of. And when we think of a eulogy, we think of the preacher, of course, at a funeral, and he will eulogize the one who has passed away. You know what you've probably never heard at a funeral? You've probably never heard the preacher get up and say about the one who has passed away, you know, he was a dirty dog and a two-faced liar. That's not what preachers do at a funeral. They usually will speak well of the person in an attempt to encourage the family. And if, as is the case sometimes, the person didn't live a real good life, then you'll just avoid his character and not say anything unless, you know, you're like some denominational preachers who will preach anybody into heaven. But generally, you'll just either speak well or you'll avoid the character issue and just go a different route. But that's what that word is. We're familiar with the idea of eulogizing. And that's what, by inspiration, Paul says we should do to those who persecute us. Let me tell you, the caterpillar is never going to do that. Only the one who has been transformed by the renewing of his mind will speak well of the one who persecutes him. But that's what the Bible calls upon us to do. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Like, you make up in your mind, not only are you going to bless them, but also you're not going to say negative things about that person. You have to fight that. Because the natural thing to do when somebody hurts you or your family in some kind of way is to say evil things about the person. Paul says, be transformed. Don't act like the world. Don't conform to the world. Be different. Instead, bless the persecutors and don't curse them. He says that verse 17, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. And that would include the persecutor. Listen, Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Notice that first part there. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Like, there is no scenario, there is no situation where we can say, well, God will understand. This person hurt me or my family so badly, everybody will understand if I strike back. But the Spirit through Paul says, brethren, never avenge yourselves. You leave that to God. Don't have a spirit of retaliation. We have to act right as Christians. Yes, we're peculiar people. We are different. Why? We've been transformed. Our minds have been made new. And so we act differently because we think differently. We don't act in the natural way. Charles Allen tells us that there's four ways that you can act when you are mistreated. And I think he's right about this. He says, first of all, you can have the attitude, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And that's vindictiveness. And we see that all the time in the world. That, again, is the natural way to act. You push me, I'm going to push you right back. You say something bad about me, well, I'll find something bad to say about you. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. It's a very vindictive kind of attitude. It may not be today and it may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. It may take a year, but somehow, some way, I'm going to get you back. It's vindictive. That's not the attitude of the one who has been transformed. Number two, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back in the same way. That is the heart of retaliation. And think of all of the problems and all of the pain that has come about because the majority of people in this world have that attitude. Like, you can see it in wars that are going on. One nation at war with another, they'll bomb the enemy and they'll try to hit a particular place where they know they're going to take out some of the leaders of the enemy, but it's war. And so inevitably there's going to be collateral damage. Innocent people are going to die. But what does the nation do that was bombed? They have the attitude, well, you bombed us, we're going to bomb you. You hurt us, we're going to hurt you in the same way. And so they bomb the other nation. And what happens? There's collateral damage. So innocent people are being killed. And then they'll just go back and forth because as long as you have that spirit of retaliation, it never really ends. It goes on sometimes for centuries. Nations fighting against nations. And families are destroyed. Husbands are killed. Wives, children are killed because of that spirit of retaliation. But that's the way of the world. It's how not just nations act, but individuals even act. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back in the same way. Number three, there is the attitude that says, if you hurt me, I'm just going to ignore you. And we call that disdain. And it is a form of retaliation. It's just a nonviolent form of retaliation. It's still vengeful. You're trying to get the person back. I'm going to hurt you, but I'm going to unlike you or whatever you call it. I'm going to strike you off my list. I'm just going to ignore you. And that, too, isn't the attitude that we should have. We see that more on an individual basis, on a smaller scale. Not nation against nation, but people against people. We sometimes treat co-workers and people we go to school with like that. And sometimes you even see that kind of spirit in the church. You see brethren ignoring each other. You see, brethren, not talking sometimes for months, even years, because someone hurts someone else. And that's the attitude. You hurt me, I'll just ignore you. I won't have anything to do with you. That's not the way that God wants us to behave. And it hurts local congregations, and it stops the cause of Christ from going forward like it should. Don't have that. As an individual, don't have that mentality. With brethren, don't develop that. Don't hold grudges. And even with your co-workers, people in the world, even when people hurt you, don't have that kind of attitude. That's the caterpillar, not the butterfly. We need to be transformed. Because then there's the fourth way. And the fourth way is, if you hurt me, I'm going to love you and pray for you. And that is the way of Christ. And Paul deals with that in this particular place. You notice again down at verse 20, he says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Listen, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you do that? You do that when you act right, when you act like a Christian, when you're persecuted. Any of those other attitudes is just going to perpetuate the problem. Someone pushes you, you push them back. Or you just ignore them. That doesn't help anything. But imagine the good that you can do when someone persecutes you and you treat them with love and mercy. You forgive them and you pray for them and you speak kindly to them. Notice that the impact that will have even on that persecutor. And that's the way of Christ. Notice, if you would, in Luke, the sixth chapter. In Luke chapter 6 and at verse 27. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You know right now the caterpillar's not going to do that. That sounds crazy to people in the world because they haven't been transformed. Their thinking is different. What do you mean? Love your enemies. I'm not going to love my enemies. And there's some in Christ that struggle with that as well. Not just enemies in the world, but as I said earlier, sometimes, you know, as I've said many times, that the church is made up of people, and so there's always going to be people problems because we all have our faults and our flaws. And sometimes we sin against one another. And if you have a spirit of retaliation, a vengeful kind of attitude, it's just going to cause a mess. And it's going to ruin the atmosphere of a local congregation like this. You get too many people holding grudges and not forgiving, and it becomes a very unloving congregation, and people can sense that. And it thwarts the cause of Christ. Make up in your mind, you're not going to do that. Give your brethren the benefit of the doubt when they do something or say something that hurts you. Maybe they didn't mean it. And even if they did, then still your job is to try to get that right. You go to them, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, and speak to them about that. You try to solve the situation. Why? Because you're not filled with vengeance. Your attitude is, well, okay, I'm going to do something to you now. No, that's the caterpillar. Let's be new creatures in Christ who have been justified by faith. And now stand before God as if we haven't sinned. Let's act like new creatures and do what not only Paul, but Jesus said that we ought to do. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And that's easy to read, but in real life, that's a struggle. But that's what Christianity is all about. Not doing what comes natural all the time. Not just being reactionary when people hurt us and wound us in some way, but thinking, what would Christ do? Do you realize that one thing that Christ was never, ever, and that is vengeful? He never retaliated. He was abused when he was here on earth. We're talking about the Son of God. He allowed a crown of thorns to be placed on his head. He was spit at and slapped and insulted over and over again. Bad things happened to him by people. And listen to me, people who he created. But he never struck back. He never retaliated. He wasn't vengeful. And now we are Christians. We're supposed to be walking in his steps. We can't do that if we have a spirit of retaliation. And so as you think about the life that you're living, you're having problems on the job. Maybe people mistreat you because that's just the world. Let me tell you, in this world where more and more people are becoming hostile towards Christianity, there'll probably be more persecution. If not physically, more insults, with some of the things that are happening in the world today and some of the decisions that have been made recently, people are blaming Christianity and the Bible. You might feel the brunt of that. How are you going to act? You're going to be the butterfly or the caterpillar? You're going to say, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to do the same thing to you that you've done to me. Or are you going to act like Christ? Bless those who persecute you. Pray for them. And say good things, whatever you can, to them. Treat them with love. And try to help them change by that attitude. We're going to be transformed, or are we going to conform to the world? I hope that we'll do the right thing. Let's not be vengeful. Especially when it comes to one another in Christ. Are you subject to the invitation? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, this is the most important decision you can make. Someone said during the course of the gospel meeting, I believe it was Kevin, that if you don't obey the gospel, you've made a decision. You've decided not to accept Christ. That is the worst decision you can make. You have the opportunity to make the right decision, the good decision, the decision that will help you now and give you eternal life after a while. The decision to make Jesus your personal Savior. Jesus said you have to believe and be baptized. You can do that tonight. The water's ready. You can be transformed. You can become a new creature this very night. Why don't you act? Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Obey the gospel. Make it this night that you become a child of God. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.